Written Kesh. Reading and writing were taken to be elements of human social existence as fundamental as speech itself. From the age of 3 or 4, a child learned to read and write at home and in the Heimas, and no Kesh was illiterate except those with brain or vision dysfunction. The latter often compensated for their inability to read by developing their verbal memory to a fantastic degree. The Kesh were less inclined than we to consider speaking and writing as one activity taking different forms. Anything we speak can be written down, and we seem to feel that it should be written down if it is of any importance. Writing authenticates speech and has taken priority over it. We now read what our speechmakers are going to say before they say it. The current uses of computers enhance and enforce this fitting of the word into the visual mode. The Kesh had a few kinds of writing that were never spoken or read aloud, but since they also had some very important kinds of speech that were never written down, they did not identify speaking and writing as forms or aspects of the same thing. To the Kesh, they were two kinds of language, either of which might be translated into the other if it was useful or appropriate to do so. The alphabet in use while we were in the valley had been developed several centuries earlier by a group of people in the Madrone Lodge of Wakwaha, who were dissatisfied with the alphabet then in use. Either because it had been borrowed from another language, or because Kesh had changed a good deal in sound, this ornate Fesse alphabet was cumbrous and arbitrary, using 67 letters to represent the 34 phonemes recognized by the Kesh. The Aiha, new alphabet, of 29 letters, plus the four-house and five-house signs, was pretty nearly phonetic. Discrepancies are noted in the chart following. The design of the letters was severely chastened and perhaps over-rationalized. Scholars learned to read Fesse out of antiquarian curiosity, but all documents of interest had long since been retranscribed into Aiha writing. Pen and brush were the writing instruments. A steel pen in a wooden holder was the commonest. The Kastoha Ironworks produced steel in quantity sufficient for pen nibs, sewing needles, knife blades, razors, and certain other fine tools and small machine parts. In the Heimas, quill pens were used, since feathers were themselves considered to be words. The brush, of hair set in bamboo, was an alternative for those who preferred it. Most poets seem to favor brush calligraphy, perhaps because it enlivened the rather monotonous Aiha letters. Pen ink was made of tannin from oak and walnut galls, ferrous sulfate, vitriol, and indigo, and was bottled in small, broad-based, gray ceramic pots of a pleasing shape. Brush ink, made from the soot of burnt pitch or oil mixed with glue and camphor, was shaped in cakes or sticks, like Chinese ink. Printing ink was a mixture of rosin, linseed oil, a pine tar soap, soot, and indigo. Paper was made in a fascinating variety of weights and textures, using mixtures of fir and other wood pulp, cotton, linen, cattail and other reeds, milkweed, and practically any other fiber. In the paper workshop of the book art in Telinana, I saw a poem brush-written on a cloudy, filmy, unsized paper, which the poet said he had made from dandelion clocks and thistledown, carded. The poem was less memorable than the paper, I thought. The book art and the oak lodge of each town made and provided paper and ink, writing materials and printing materials, and the facilities for making and using them. A poem or a set of poems might be written on one large sheet of paper, and short works were often written on scrolls rolled vertically on wooden rods. Books were made like our books, bound by gluing and sewing one margin of the sheets, and covered with calfskin leather or goatskin parchment, or heavy cloth, on paperboard. People who wrote a good deal generally made their own paper and blank books. Fine copies and printed editions of literary pieces were usually the work of copyists and printers in the book art, and were called wudadu, going back through, rendition, performance. The word used also for an oral recitation, the acting of a written play, or the performance of a piece of music. The Kesh alphabet. Narrator's note. This chart contains the letters of the Kesh alphabet, invented shapes, their corresponding English letters, and how they are pronounced. Following are the English corresponding letters and their Kesh pronunciation. End of narrator's note. K, K, G, G, SH, SH, CH, CH, L, L, O, the two kinds of L in little, N, N, S, S, D, 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 V, T, T, R, R, L, Dr, V. Note concerning the Kesh R, depending on context, it may be a trill, a flap, as in English steady or Betty, the fricative V, as in then, or a stop, dr. And as a final sound, it is often very like American English hard R in her. F, F, V, V, M, M, B, B, P, P, W, 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 H, W, H, as in English, what? Y, 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 H, H, sometimes H, O, O, as in English, off. O, with an accent mark over it. O, as in oat, without glide. O-U. O, as in go. U, with an accent mark over it. O, as in toot. U. As in the, as in but, dumb. E, eh, as in yet. A, ah, as in father. A-I, I, as in tie. I, I, as in pit. I, with an accent mark over it. E, as in meat. There is a written five-house sign pronounced z, a suffix to words in the five-house mode, which is not used in most kinds of writing. There is a written four-house sign. There is no spoken sign. There is a doubled letter sign written over the letter. It will be noted that the order of the Iha alphabet was a fairly orderly progression of the consonants from the back of the mouth forward to the lips, back through the semiconsonants from dental to glottal, and forward again through the vowels. The glides O, O-U, and I, A-I, were included as letters in the alphabet. The equally common glides A, E-I or E-Y, and Oi, O-I or O-Y, were not, for no reason anybody could cite. The symbol or letter signaling the five-house or earth mode sounded as Z. The four-house or sky mode sign, which represented no sound, and the double letter sign written above the letter were not included in the order of the alphabet as written or recited. Text was written and read left to right, top to bottom, but clowns practiced reverse writing, bottom to top, right to left, the letters reversed. There were no capital letters, punctuation and spacing separated sentences. Vowels were usually written larger than consonants. Punctuation. In inscriptions and mural writing, little punctuation was used except for a slanting stroke to divide sentences. In ordinary and literary writing, punctuation was careful and complex, including indications of expression and tempo, which we use only for music. The principal signs were a wavy horizontal line, equivalent to our period, a wavy horizontal line with a short upward stroke on the right, a double period, roughly equivalent to a paragraph break, a sign resembling our capital N, equivalent to our comma, indicating a phrase within a continuing sentence, the capital N sign with an added upward stroke on the right, equivalent to our semicolon, indicating a self-contained phrase within a continuing sentence. These four signs, like our punctuation, were syntactically meaningful and added clarity. The next five concern dynamics and tempo. A diagonal line from right to left, equivalent to our dash, signifying a pause. Repeated, a long pause. Repeated more than once, a longer pause. Underlining. Kesh underlining, just like ours, denotes emphasis or stress. Dots over a word. The opposite of underlining, de-emphasis, a soft or even tone. A semicircle-like shape with an added curved stroke on the right, written over a word, a fermata, prolong the word, written in the margin, rallentando, read this line or these lines slowly. A sign resembling our capital A, written in the margin, speed up or resume normal reading pace.